as when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes, and men say, "Don't destroy it, there is yet some good in it," so will I do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live. It's a rich one, isn't it? It's a rich one and a strong one, and it's a little bit of a baffling one, which is to say that it moves back and forth among emotions and among words. Let's start this way. There's a Japanese theologian named Kazuo Kitamori who wrote after the anguish and the bloodletting of World War II and suggested that, in addition to a proper and an undiminished emphasis on the holiness and the righteousness of God, especially when that has been blotched by the sin of people, suggested that we really also need to listen in Scripture with open ears to the pathos of God, to how God suffers from the refusal of his people to walk with him, and how he yearns in that suffering for them to return to him. And clearly we do have Jesus, right, approaching Jerusalem, and the scripture says in understated ways that he approached the city, and when he saw it, he sat down and broke into tears. Not anger. There was anger there, I'm sure, because other parts of Scripture say that, but that's not the point here. The point here was the suffering and the deep, deep sorrow that he felt for his people. And so, also in today's reading, all day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good. This, in words from the earlier verse, seem to recall words that come from one of the most open and one of the most beautiful invitations of God to his people back in chapter 55. Seek the Lord, God said, kind of a blank check. Seek the Lord while he may be found, while he allows himself to be found, while he's out there for you to find him. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him when he is near, while he nears himself to you. All day long, I have held out my hands to an obstinate people. And as he itemizes the sins, those of you who are studying Hebrew so painfully can take note that every one of these is a participle. That is to say, it goes on and on and on. And it's not just all day long have I held out my hands. It's all day, every day, have I held out my hands to an obstinate people. No matter how much he gives, no matter how freely he gives it, there is in the human heart, even of God's own, sometimes a fixation and a satisfaction with oneself, which renders what God has to give irrelevant, even inferior. Keep away. Don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Can you believe that? Keep away from me. When God's finest gift and his most sterling promise, given Old Testament on through to the end of the New, is the gift of Emmanuel, God with us. Keep away. Don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Where else does sacred come from, for crying out loud, if not from God? Or can it happen that a people of God can be so impressed with their own sanctity that they find that somehow preferable to the grace God gives? Happened with the golden calf, didn't it, at Mount Sinai? You find that really one of the battles being fought all through the New Testament with Judaizers on the one hand and the Gnostics on the other. Keep away from me, for I am too sacred for you. Keep away from me, for I am too circumcised for you. I am too pure for you. Keep away from me, for I am too spiritual for you. Keep away from me, for I am too liturgical for you, or too missional, or too theological, or too confessional. Keep away from me. And by the way, thank you, Lord, that I am not as other folk are. Yes, it can happen. You pick any divinely given quality and fill it with yourself, and it stinks. It can happen to any person. It can happen to any people. It can happen to any church, anytime, anywhere. God wants to give himself, but somehow it's not enough. Even the Lord himself was rejected, right? On the one hand, for eating and then for not eating, for drinking and for not eating, for dancing, for not dancing. Even he wasn't enough. Like the Pharisee who prays in order to be seen and praised and emulated. The one too sacred for God does have his or her own reward, and it is him or herself, which has built in separation from God, keep away from me, self-fulfilling, and has built in also the judgment that comes from God on that heart. As painful as God's heart is hearing words like this from his own, keep away from me. God's yearning, however, is not quenched. God doesn't just walk away from his world, nor from his yearning that all the families of the earth be blessed. And if the majority doesn't want in, and in this case it's not the moral majority, it's the immoral, however sacred they may think they are, if they don't want in, then God can and will produce from a few throwaway grapes juice enough for wine to ease the spiritual thirst of people, and will produce from a remnant, a throwaway remnant, however small and however not sacred enough they may be, his people, whose heart he forms, and in whose heart he lives, and through whose heart he brings the gift of sacredness for all the families of the earth, even if that juice is down to one drop, and that remnant down to one suffering servant, his son. Even if, or maybe especially when, the suffering, the pain of God is focused at the point of the cross where the Son pours out his life for these obstinate people. There the world can be redeemed and sin forgiven and hearts made new and a people of God made from those who, as Paul picked up, who had not asked for me before or sought me or called on my name, the Gentiles, and that's you and me. In his Son, the pain of God becomes the delight of God, who wishes all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And his gift for us is Emmanuel, a God who won't